This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. The men's and women's basketball teams at Bloomfield College are on a roll, both sitting atop the Central Atlantic Collegiate Conference. The men's coach, Gerald Holmes, and the women's coach, Dave Caputo, take great pride in their highly successful programs, and in particular, their student-athletes. I'm pleased to have three of them in my radio classes at Bloomfield College. Let's head to the campus now and meet the captains of the men's team, 6'6 junior forward Nick Davidson from Lumberton, New Jersey, and 6'4 junior forward Rockwan Kelly of Newark, and one of the newest members of the women's squad, 6'1 sophomore Bobby Floyd from Las Vegas, Nevada. Bobby, you're with the women's program. Thanks for being on Sports Jam. Now, your college career began at Delaware State University, but let's go back. You're from Las Vegas, Nevada. How does someone from Las Vegas end up at Bloomfield College in New Jersey?
I ended up coming to Bloomfield from Del State as a transfer. I played at Del State, and I actually committed my junior year of high school. I didn't want any West Coast schools because I lived there for 18 years of my life, so I chose to venture out and go away from home, so I chose Del State.
And then you decided to make a transfer. What came into that decision?
I wouldn't want to say the coaching staff, but like how comfortable I was and how my parents felt about me being under the wing of the coach at the time.
Okay, and you had an illustrious years in high school where you actually won the All-State and Co-MVP honors your senior year. Even all the way back in sophomore, you were the Southwest Conference MVP. You've had a lot of success in basketball. You're 6'1". First of all, that's you're just about as tall as I am, and you've always been good at rebounding. Tell us about how you approach the game. What kind of player would you characterize yourself?
If I could name a player that I play like, I would say Candace Parker. She's a diverse player.
Great double, Parker on the move to the rim, lays it up and in. Candace Parker is possessed tonight.
She's a rebounder first. And then she's like a scorer more, but she's more of a defender. In high school, we had an awful team. So it was like I was that go-to player. And as you mentioned, like I had all the accolades to build up to the player that I am now.
Now you're the youngest of this group here. We have Nick and Rockwan, who they both have had a tremendous season so far with the Bloomfield College Bears. Nick, you were a star last year for this club. But one thing I noticed is that everywhere you play, you average about 17 points. You averaged 17 points in high school, 17 points now for the Bears. You're just that kind of, you know how to score. It seems like no matter what kind of game you're having, you're getting around the same point total, right?
Yeah, I'd say that.
What do you attribute that to?
A lot of it has to do with my free throw line. I go there a lot, so I know if I can go there at least 8 to 10 times a game, I can pretty much just get my average.
You had 31 points one game, and you went to the free throw line, and actually I think you had 13 free throws that you made the game that you had 31. How do you get to the free throw line? We always hear the coaches yell, you know, make the move, get to the line, and get a couple easy free throws. What's your approach? How it's not easy to have people foul you. What do you usually do?
Well, what I do is if I have a bigger guy on me, I'll take him outside of the basket and drive. And if I have a smaller guy on me, I'll go to the post and post up. So that creates mismatches, and it's hard for them to guard me.
You're more of a perimeter player, even though you're 6'6" and a forward. You like to take the threes. You're not necessarily the guy who's getting all the rebounds inside. You like to shoot it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I shoot my three ball.
Somebody who does like to mix it up inside is a 6'4", Rockwan Kelly. You have been defensive player of the conference. You've had Bears player of the week. You went to Mississippi Valley State, though, first. Tell us what was the decision behind transferring to Bloomfield.
The decision of transferring to Bloomfield is when I was in Mississippi, me and the coach, we didn't really get along. I was having fun in the fall semester of the season, but in late spring, that's when me and him fell apart. And during that spring semester, I got in contact with the coaches at Bloomfield. I already knew them because they was recruiting me since middle school. And when I got in touch with him, when I came back home, I decided to confirm that I was going to Bloomfield.
At 6'4", you're not the biggest guy on the court, but, boy, you can jump. Sometimes you're jumping to start the game, the tip. You're also averaging 8 bounds a game here at Bloomfield, and you've been a rebounder basically all your basketball career. Timing, tell us a little bit about what it takes to be a good rebounder.
You just have to have a nose for the ball. When I was younger, I was always a football player. Football was my first love, and the position I played was either safety just to catch interceptions or wide receiver just to catch the ball. I knew how to jump. Growing up, that's all we used to do, and I just, have a nose for the ball.
Those in Newark know the name Rockwell Kelly quite well because what an illustrious career you had at Newark Tech. 1,000-point scorer in high school, so you've always been able to play this game. Do you remember the first time you picked up a basketball?
The first time I picked up a basketball, I was 9 years old. I didn't know how to dribble, but, I always tried. I never knew how to do any of the moves, but I always watched TV just to be like people that I saw on television.
Who was it that you saw on TV that said, boy, I'd like to play like that player?
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant just retired after a tremendous career. What was it about Kobe that attracted your eye?
Honestly, Kobe didn't attract my eye. That was just the first person I saw play basketball on television. But that attracted my eye was Vince Carter. I just loved the way he shoot the ball and the way he jumped. Like in my eyes, he the best dunker ever in NBA history.
Vince Carter with his first stop. Let's go home. Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a reverse 360 going against the grain. That is unbelievable.
This building just exploded.
You can get off the floor. Why is that? What have you done to be able to be such a great leaper?
I would say my work ethic. I don't give up on certain plays. When I know I can out-jump anybody, I do my best, and I'm a fast jumper. I'm a quick jumper, so I just know I can, jump.
Bobby, it seems like the men's and women's team here at Bloomfield pool for each other and really have a good community when it comes to cheering on each other. Is that the case?
Yes, because we'll be playing and the boys will walk in and then we'll always be there to hype their games up. So we have that rapport.
Yeah, I mean it's always a doubleheader that's at the gym. So it's a good night of basketball. What do you think about the crowds that come to the Bloomfield games? What would you like to say about that?
Well, the crowds at the boys' games, they're legit, but it takes a build-up. So, when our game is ending, they'll start coming in. Then the boys' game, they'll be lit. But other than that, we're not as hype. It's parents mainly in the beginning, and then the boys will come in because they have to come in. But other than that, they're a good support system. It's motivating when, it's a close game and the crowd's hype and little stuff like that.
Well, even the WNBA, fails in comparison to NBA crowds, obviously. What would you like to see happen in women's sports that's not happening yet to try to get better promotion of women's basketball?
Just spread the word. We know there's a WNBA, just like there's an NBA. Just spread the word of women's basketball. That's all I think.
At Delaware State, you had 10 rebounds one game. You're rebounding well, and you're getting some time here at Bloomfield. Obviously, both of these guys have a year ahead of you. What do you feel you need to do to get actually more minutes, and how is that process to try to get more minutes into the what's your psyche when it comes to not starting on this team?
Just work harder, get better. It starts in practice, and you build up, and then it shows in game time. It's not necessarily a downfall that I'm not starting, but when I play, I produce, and that's all that I look forward to is supporting the team.
They say a good team has to have good chemistry. Do the women have good chemistry at Bloomfield?
I'll say we do. We have our own chemistry. Nobody could really understand how we do our things if you're not in that team.
Well, then take us inside a huddle. What is said between players, and how much does coach help you motivate yourselves?
Coach is a very passionate person on and off the court. He cares about your well-being, and on the court, he's a great coach. Coach Caputo, he puts a lot into us. He commutes every day, an hour and a half. He works hard. We have hard practices. It's very, like, intense. He doesn't end a practice on a bad note. He'll always end a practice on a make or on a something good that just happened. So as a team, like, we feed off of that. And so, if you ever watch our coach, like, he's a hothead. He will take off his tie, take off his watch, cuss. But it's like, as a team, while he's on our heads, we stay together. We stick together. We huddle up after every foul, every loose ball. Like, something bad happens, we huddle up and talk about it while he's yelling. So it shows, like, on the court that we still have that connection on and off.
What has Coach done for you that you would run through a screen to get the – or take the charge to get this team a win?
He's just always been there. Like, he's there for me when I – since I'm 2,000 miles away from home, he's like, another father figure. He's there when I need extra skill work at, like, 9 o'clock at night. He'll be in his office cutting up film for us the next day, and I'll need help with some kind of move. Like, hey, coach, can you come downstairs? Like, he's just always – he's, like, very supportive.
We're speaking here with three of the stars of the Bloomfield College – basketball programs. We're speaking with Bobby Floyd on the women's team, Raquan Kelly for the men's team, and Nick Davidson. Nick, you are the leading scorer for this club, averaging almost 18 points a game. When you're not having a great night from the field, what do you have to do to try to either get yourself on track, or what do you have to do to make sure that you're doing everything you can to help this team win?
Well, it all starts with defense with all of us. So if I can take a charge or get a loose ball, I know that'll energize my teammates in other ways than just scoring.
You know, we just talked to Bobby about coaching. Coach Gerald Holmes loves when he sees somebody take a charge. In fact, he's always yelling out there, take a charge. And a couple of the games I saw this year, you indeed did that. That does fire him up.
Yeah, that's one of the better things I am at defense is taking charges, being in the right position for help side. And if you could help out a teammate, it always helps you.
Nick, it takes some sort of guts. You know, you're a big guy at 6'6", 230, but if you have both you and Rock were going up against a 7-footer one of the nights that that I saw, and it was you guys did a tremendous job double-teaming that center. But to take a charge from a man like that, what goes through your mind?
Well, I'm not a leaper like Rock, so I can't use my athletic abilities to block shots. So I know a way that I can do it is by taking a charge. So a big goofy guy comes in there with his head down, and it's easy to take a charge on him.
How was it that night, Rock, when you guys were going up against the 7-footer? You guys did a good job of doubling down every time he got the ball, and you really limited his ability to get to the paint.
The majority of the game, it was difficult, not on the defensive end, but on the offensive end, because some plays he guarded me. I'm a more of perimeter and low post guy, but when he was out on the perimeter of me and I go past him, it was hard for me to score over him, because every time I shot over him, I couldn't see.
Going up against a 7-footer, does that give you – I mean, you're smiling as you think about it here. I can see that was an interesting game. Was that the biggest guy you've had to compete against?
Second biggest. Last year they had another 7-footer, same team, and he was quite the same.
When you were growing up, who was the person that you kind of played with in the playgrounds and at school that you feel helped you become a better player? Is there somebody out there that you went in the backyard or went on the court with that made you a better basketball player?
Yes. They don't know it, but it was my twin uncles. They one didn't really play basketball. He was just physical because he boxed, and the other one played basketball. They motivated me every day, even if I didn't take basketball serious because football was my first love. But they motivated me every day to play ball, and that's what I did every day in the backyard, every day at school, or, you know, just play basketball every day.
Now, you went to a postgraduate school. You went to the Robinson School. What went into that decision? Obviously, you really want to play this game.
What made me go to postgrad school is because in my junior year of high school, I got into a big injury, and I felt like graduating high school after my 12th grade year, that postgrad would get me stronger. So I decided to go to – even though I had colleges looking at me, I decided to go to postgrad school just to get stronger, and – that was a big decision on my behalf. It was my own decision, and I'm glad I made it.
What kind of difference has it been for you, Nick, this season? Coming in, they know that they're the man when it comes to scoring. You had a 17-point average last year as a sophomore. Do you feel that defenses are keying more on you this year? Has it been even more difficult to try to maintain that, or is it because you're a year older, more experienced, it's been easier for you?
It all depends on the game, but a lot of time this season I'll get face guarded or double teamed on the post. So, I mean, with an added year, it has helped me be smarter in my spots and stuff like that. But also, what's helped is Rock and Marcus is scoring. Also allows teams not just to focus on me because they have to focus on two other great scorers.
We hear a lot about AAU basketball and the Henderson Heat and the Las Vegas Blackhawks. Teams that you played on, Bobby. Tell us about AAU basketball. Is it something that you recommend young kids get involved with?
Definitely. My first year playing basketball was actually my freshman year of high school, but my first year playing AAU was my summer going into my freshman year. And the coaches that I was playing in high school with were actually my AAU coaches. And this was the Las Vegas Blackhawks team. We were like, it was a new program, but it was like I was a freshman playing on an older team. Like, I was the youngest girl playing on their team with no experience, just my height, because I'm tall for my height. And playing AAU basketball, like, it was always, like, you know, a build-up to coming into, like, your season. And then playing Henderson Heat, I actually got recruited from Del State on a Tennessee trip for AAU. I was in Tennessee, and they saw me play with Henderson Heat under the coaching of Coach Wesley. And, like, AAU just helped me, like, build up my skill level, because basketball is, like, in high school it's not as, you know, important because there's three other sports you can focus on. But in AAU, it's, like, it's that one sport for 3 months, and it was basketball.
You were a four-year letter winner in basketball, mm-hmm. two in track. Mm-hmm. Basketball, your love?
I can say I fell in love with the sport as the years went on. I wouldn't say that it's my first love because I was also a cheerleader. Like, my whole life, I was a cheerleader till my freshman year of high school. I missed cheerleading tryouts because it was during the summer. So I wasn't trying to play basketball. I was trying to cheer and wear my little skirt and, like, cheer for my brother because he was actually a football player. But instead, I missed that tryout, and my dad was like, you're not just going to sit at home all day. You're going to play a sport. So I tried out for basketball, and I happened to be good at it. So I stuck to that game.
What is your brother thought about the fact when you made that switch, you know, from cheerleader? Obviously has to be pretty proud where you're at right now.
Yeah, he's actually really proud. He's right now he's in Japan. He is in the Air Force. So he hasn't seen me play basketball since probably my junior year. So it's like he can read about it on social media. He can see it on Facebook. And then I have a little brother. He's actually 6'9", and no, 6'10 now. He's actually 17, and he plays basketball just like me. So it's like I used to be taller than him, and then he just sprouted. So now, like, there's that battle of, like, who's better? I'm older, so I should be better. But he can, like, the dunking part kind of overweighs my everything because he's a good 9 inches taller than me. But, like, my support system is my family at the end of the day. Like, they're always there. My parents were just here yesterday.
Nice. So, but obviously that's a long trip, so they're not going to be able to see all your games. What would it mean for you if your brother overseas would actually come back, and maybe when you're a senior here at Bloomfield?
I would cry. Like, thinking about it, it's just, like, the chills. I haven't seen him. I'm supposed to see him when I turn 20, but I don't know how much that's going to work out because he's stationed in different places, so who knows where he'll be next. I always see, like, stuff on social media where it's, like, your family shows up to, like, your graduation. Like, I always, like, I hope that's me. Like, I haven't seen him. So I think that would be, like, the finishing of a great college career.
We hope that happens for you, Bobby. You're listening to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. We're talking Bloomfield College basketball tonight.
an extremely successful Division II program on both the women and men's side. Joining us is 6'1" sophomore Bobby Floyd on the women's team and the two captains on the men's squad, 6'4" junior forward Roquan Kelly, affectionately known as Rock, and 6'6" forward Nick Davidson, the leading scorer on the Bears.
Rock, when I watched you're slapping the fans' hands when you see them come in, you fit in quite nicely here at Bloomfield. Like you said, a lot of people know you from your days here in Newark. Can you take us through the recruiting process, what it's like, how difficult it is for students these days to be recruited and to make what you feel is the right decision?
Well, I know back in middle school and up until my freshman year of high school, it was very hard, difficult to recruit the guys because it wasn't like how it is now that there's so much social media going on, like Instagram and Snapchat and things like that. Back then, it wasn't a lot of videos to, you know, notice people because it's a lot of players that plays D2 that belong D1. Unfortunately, but the guys is, you know, getting D1 offers now, they just have more of a way of getting recruited because of social media. And, you know, back then it wasn't like that. But as for me, how I got recruited, it wasn't really because of AAU. It was because of the high school I went to before, Nook Tech. I was at Hudson Catholic High School. And that program went from a low-level program to a high-level program. We started off as a Reebok school, and then we ended up as a Nike school, sponsored by Nike. And our coach, his name was Nick Marinelli. He's still there, was a former coach at Bloomfield Tech High School. And he was a guy that brought inner-city kids together but made the inner-city kids go into the schools such as Hudson Catholic. That was the high school that I attended for 3 years before going to Nook Tech. And how I got recruited was through him putting the word out and me having great games. I was always recruited by low D1 schools, a couple of high D1 schools, and a lot of high D2 schools. But when I transferred, my recruiting went below because when I had got injured, I had to, you know, stop playing basketball. So it was never AAU for me. It was always high school. And then, you know, that's when I went to grad school, and that's how I got recruited even more by D1 and D2 schools.
Was it difficult changing schools like that so often?
It was difficult for me to make the decision of my own of going into grad school, but it wasn't difficult for me to leave one high school that I stayed 3 years for to go to another high school because I was supposed to go to Nook Tech High School as the start of my high school career.
Nick, you don't realize, but Rancocas Valley, where you went to high school, is one of my favorite high schools in New Jersey. And let me tell you why. Franco Harris went to Rancocas Valley, and so did the Harris family. Do you know the legend of Franco Harris at Rancocas Valley?
Yeah, and he sometimes visits, and his mother's house is actually right next to the school. So I know his mother, and I've seen her.
What kind of a lady is Franco's mom?
She's a very nice lady. She comes outside to, like, the kids when they come walk past her house. She says hi and stuff like that. And sometimes she comes to the football games.
Out of nowhere came Franco Harris, riding a white stallion down the field, heading up Franco's Italian army, charging under the football and galloping off into the sunset.
So the story I got was when I did a play-by-play of a Rancocas Valley football game years ago, I went around asking everybody, do you know about Franco Harris? And nobody could tell me. Finally, I went up and I threw my headsets down and said, can't anybody tell me about the legendary Franco Harris here at Rancocas Valley? And a gentleman looked at me and he said, what would you like to know? Turned out to be his high school coach and said that Franco, during two-a-day practices, would not show up for the morning practice, but would come in the afternoon and would look fantastic. But then the next morning, he wasn't there. So coach walked right next door to the Harris house, and there's Franco's mom. And coach says, why isn't Franco coming to the morning practice? My son, he needs his sleep. And coach said, well, you better tell your son he better get his to the afternoon practices or he won't be playing. He never missed another practice. First time he touched the ball, he went 80 yards. had a great career at Rancocas Valley, went on to Penn State. Coach took him there, him and Lydell Mitchell, were Joe Paterno's running backs for their career, and then, of course, went on to have a Hall of Fame career for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was there a lot of pride in the sports program at Rancocas Valley?
I'd say, yeah. It started off with football in Rancocas Valley, but I'd say before I got there and then when I was there, it was basketball was the main provocative for the school. Like, everybody would come to the basketball games, and we'd have pretty packed crowds. Pretty intense.
What was the transition for you from being a star in high school to become a star pretty early on here in your career at Bloomfield?
Well, in high school, I wasn't really a star until my senior year. That's when I blossomed into myself. And I had a lot of confidence coming out of high school, coming to Bloomfield. So I'd say confidence goes a long way in how I played at Bloomfield from my freshman year till now. I really didn't think anybody could stop me. So that's the mindset I come into every game.
Coach Holmes obviously puts a lot of pressure on you guys on the sideline. He likes to see you with an up-tempo pace. Does that accentuate your game?
I'd say it does because all the energy he brings, it gets to you. So it makes you want to do better with the energy that he brings.
Why are you guys number one in this conference, and why have you been so good at home under Coach Holmes?
Because we know we're going to run like crazy if we lose the next day. but I think we're number one in our conference because we know we have a good feel for every team, and we know that if we just play our brand of basketball that we can beat anybody, not just in our league, but in the whole nation, I feel like.
Do you like to talk smack on the court?
I don't talk that much smack. I like to let my play do it, but we have enough people on our team that talk smack for me, so.
How about Rock? Does he do it?
No, I don't know about Rock, but I know we have a lot of players on our team that do, so they cover for us.
Do you like to push the ball up the court, too? You like that pace?
Yeah. I think no school can outrun us the way we play. Our style of play is up-tempo. That's what coach say. And, you know, we run so much that we're just used to running, so that's, you know, that's my style of play.
Bobby, what's the best compliment you've received since you've been here at Bloomfield, whether it be coach, fan, fellow classmate?
That I can run. Like, for my size, I can run. I can run the floor. Coach notices it. Teams notice it. I'm 6'1", but I can sprint, and I'm fast.
Is it tough being a student athlete these days?
Yes, by far. Just 7 a.m. practices, two-a-days, trying to work between your classes, trying to get the right amount of sleep, homework, my coach. Like, it's hard. It's hard to balance, but it's, like, once you get the hang of it, just you just go with it, and you can work with it.
You know, you have to kind of have a balance when you're dealing with your classmates. We're doing this interview in front of your class here at Bloomfield College. Some people think that athletes get breaks. Some people think you get special treatment. You're on the mic now, Bobby. How are athletes – what is the real thing when it comes to student athletes?
The comparison between I wouldn't call him a regular student, but an athlete and a non-athlete, the break – like, we don't get breaks. Like, if we're not in class, we're in the gym. If we're not in the gym, we're doing homework. If we're not doing homework, we're back in the gym. So it's not like we get a break, and there's no favoritism with an athlete. It's work. Like, on the court, off the court, you're expected to do more, not even as an athlete, but you want to do better because you have that label, like, I am a student athlete. I am a player at Bloomfield College. So just the idea of not being in the classroom, you're getting your work in on the court. If you're not on the court, you're finishing up in the classroom. So I don't think there's no special treatment for an athlete.
Has playing an athletic sport made you a better student in any way?
Yes, by far it has.
Tell me why.
Playing a sport, like, it taught me how to time manage. I was so bad at time managing growing up. I just, last minute, we have away games, so it's like I won't be in class for certain days because I'm on the road, and it's like, oh, I have to make up this by this time, or I have this due at this time. So it's taught me, like scheduling is very important, and that's what I needed to learn.
You used to be an education major, Nick, but now you're in communications. Tell us why you made that switch.
Well, education was very difficult, and keeping a 3.0 while being a student athlete was kind of challenging for me. So I switched it to communications because I find it interesting, and it's a very broad base, and you can do a lot with that major.
Mark, I know that you're interested. You're part of this radio production class along with Nick and Bobby. You're from Newark, so you know a little bit about WBGO growing up in the city. What are your thoughts of the radio station? What did you know about WBGO?
What I knew about WBGO was that it was a jazz station. Before coming into this class, I already knew that we'll be discussing WBGO because of the former players that attended this class. And my coach always brought up a guy named Doug. So I was very interested in the focus on, you know, learning more about this class and WBGO. What I found interesting was when we had a trip to WBGO, and I found so much history about it and the music library, speaking to Miss Hamilton, and, you know, it was just fun and a great experience for me.
Can you see yourself on the sideline or doing play-by-play of a sport? Is that what you'd like to do?
I would love to be on the sideline doing play-by-play for sports. Either if it's talking on the mic, being a sports analyst, or holding the camera. I just see myself doing that.
Bobby, I mean, there's always the comparison of, you know, who should be a color commentator, who should be a play-by-play. Can you really know this game without playing it?
No. I feel like you only know as much as you read about or as you see if you're not playing the game. Like, there's so much more on the court that you see or that you feel as you watch the game if you play the game, if that made any sense.
So what's the ultimate goal for you guys this year? How far can this women's team go?
Win it all. That's our goal. We have, like, two of the top seniors, guards, Tiana and Morgan, on our court. This is their last year. They came in, won a chip, and they want to leave out winning a chip, and that's our goal.
You know that you have two more years to go here, and winning a championship, that just kind of breeds success then, right? You know, to be a part of that. There's something about knowing how to win, and once you have that feeling, it's easier to win, isn't it?
I would never say winning is easy. Winning takes time. Winning takes effort. Winning takes commitment, teamwork, defense. Like, I would never say winning is easy. Like, there's always something that can stop you from winning, whether it be a bad call or you just having a bad day. So I would never say winning would be it's easy at all.
One of the games that I went to see, Nick, you got into foul trouble early on and had to sit out a good part of the first half. How frustrating is that, and how motivated does that make you come out in the second half?
It's very frustrating, but what I try to do is I try to cheer on my teammates to bring them energy. That's the only way I can be effective when I'm on the bench, but second half it just knows that I have to do what I do best and score.
One thing I like about watching the men's team is very deep to the bench. Coach plays a lot of players, and seems like with that pace, you guys can keep it up.
Yeah, we have a very deep bench. I'd say we have 2 to 3 positions deep for each position, and they're all very skilled. So I never get concerned when I get out of the game because I know I have somebody that can do what I'm doing.
And does that help with chemistry, Rock, when it comes to knowing that everybody gets an opportunity that makes the team a little bit tighter too?
Yes. We as a team, we have great chemistry, and we always pick each other up. If one player is down, then the other person, you know, comes up to play. So, yes, chemistry plays a big part of us winning and having a great season.
For you personally, what would it mean to win a championship this year?
It would mean a lot, mainly because I left – Division I program to Division II program, and I want to rub it in my old coach's face.
Okay. Kind of like that. Honesty. Bobby, your final comments here, anything that you'd like to say about the women's program here at Bloomfield?
Just come support us. Like, we're a great team. We're just strong. We're good. And we have a great coaching staff. We have great players. We all can produce. Just come check us out. Don't always go to the boys' game. Like, there's other people before us, before them. Just know that.
The last game that I saw, it went right down to the wire for the men's game. And The crowd was very much into it. It's intense. Do you like, Nick, when the big crowds there?
Yeah, I love our atmosphere at Bloomfield. It's very intense, and it causes a hostile environment for the other team. It also brings the other team more energy, too, because they see our crowd and how crazy they get. But when they're behind us, I know that we can beat anybody.
Any thoughts about, you know, Rock said he played at the Division I level. Do you feel that there's that much of a difference between D1 and D2?
Well, major D1, there's a difference. But I'd say mid-majors and D2, it's about pretty much the same.
Who's the team that you guys have to beat in order to make this happen for you this year?
I'd say any of the top teams from the South, Philadelphia U, Wilmington, Holy Family, they're always known as tough teams. And for us to get to that next level, we have to beat them. We already beat Wilmington and beat Philadelphia U. Now Holy Family's this Saturday, and we plan to handle our business down there.
Do you feel extra pressure as being the leading scorer on this club that you have to have your game in the big game, or are you okay with just a team victory?
I'm okay with a team victory. If I score 11 points and we come up with a victory, if I score 5 points and we come up with a victory, I'm the happiest guy on the bus. I mean, a win is a win in my eyes.
Two extremely strong programs here at Bloomfield College. I want to thank our guests here on Sports Gem, Bobby Floyd. Continued success on the women's side.
Thank you.
Rockwan Kelly. You both wear number 15s, by the way, on the men and women's team, respectively. And number 24, Nick Davidson. We hope you both bring championships to Bloomfield.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the podcasts by going to WBGO.org/Sports Jam. Find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.